Well, you've worked really hard, so I'll do the last reading for you. It comes from Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Well, not satisfied with tackling the incarnation this morning, I thought I'd also deal with the Trinity. Why not, for a Christmas special, do such a thing? I could have the first slide there. This is a lovely little stained glass window. We don't go in much for stained glass windows in Baptist churches, but now we've got projectors, we can stick them up when we want them. So we stole this one. Should we leave it there? It's quite nice, isn't it? Should we knock a hole in that wall? No, there's the room on the other side. So it symbolises Father, Son and Holy Spirit in symbolic form in that circle, thinking about the unity of God. They work in such complete unity that we don't speak of three gods, but of one God in three persons. They work together. Yet, in different situations, we sometimes see the different persons working in slightly different ways, fulfilling slightly different roles. So, for example, in salvation, the Father sent his Son to save people from their sins. The Son willingly came to seek and to save the lost. The Holy Spirit works within each person to convict us of sin and to work to make us holy. So slightly different roles as God works out his plan for salvation. In the same way, in the incarnation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together. And this morning I want to highlight one role. I want to highlight the role of Holy Spirit. How did Holy Spirit become involved and what was his role in the incarnation? Well, right back at the beginning of the Bible, we read about the Holy Spirit being involved in creation. Of course, Jesus, we're told, was there at the creation and that all things were created through him and for him. But it was sort of Holy Spirit who came and made it so. He worked by hovering over the chaos and bringing order and life. So perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised that Holy Spirit was able to bring forth a human life. After all, it was Holy Spirit who programmed the whole operating system of creation so that it could develop and grow into everything that we see. But I think we can be rightly awestruck that Holy Spirit created a whole new form of human life that was fully God and fully human. That is an amazing thing. The details of God's audacious plan, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had this plan for salvation of God becoming a human and living amongst us. Not half God and half human, but fully divine and fully human. God came up with this plan, but the details are left to the Holy Spirit. Those of you that are fans of the later Star Trek series will know how Jean-Luc Picard says, "Make it so." And then the crew go make it so. Well, it sort of seems like that in heaven, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come up with a plan, and then they say to the Holy Spirit, "Make it so. Go and put into practice this whole plan of God becoming a human being." You almost imagine the Holy Spirit saying, "Yeah, right, easy for you to say. I'll get on with it then." But
right back at the beginning of creation, Holy Spirit was already thinking forward to the time when God would become a human being, because he created men and women in his image. In the image of God, they were created so that they were a fit place for God to come and dwell amongst us. So the details of God's audacious plan are left in the Holy Spirit's hands. The Father sends the Son freely comes, and the Holy Spirit makes it so. So what's that got to do with Christmas? Well, here's my point. If the Holy Spirit can conceive and construct an entirely new form of human life, bringing him to birth without any limitation, what is there that stops him working in your life? What limitation is there on the power of the Spirit who created all things and brought God into human form? What can't he achieve in your life if you'll allow him to? Consider how the Holy Spirit was able to work in Joseph and Mary. I think we are rightly amazed that Mary's response to Gabriel's news was, "You've got to be joking." No, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." That is quite a step of obedience and of faith. But I think we should also learn from Joseph. I love this picture. A picture of Joseph being woken up, or perhaps in his dream, seeing a picture. And what it looks like to me is the angel waking up and saying, "Have you not noticed the baby needs changing?" But what we're told in Scripture is that what actually happened was that the dream was that he shouldn't divorce Mary, but that he should marry her. You see, he had in mind, the Scripture says, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He'd made his mind up. Thought about it, considered it. "This is the gentlemanly and the kind and loving thing that I can do. I will divorce her quietly." But he changed his mind. God came to him by his Spirit, and Joseph changed his mind. It's very hard for anyone to change their mind once they've made their mind up. We tend to reject evidence that contradicts what we believe. But the Spirit came and changed Joseph's mind. So what he did instead was to take Mary home as his wife, and he obeyed the Lord's command in naming the child Jesus, which means God saves. So he took those two steps of obedience. Well, that church word repentance means a change of mind, a metanoia, a change of mind. So Joseph had that change of mind, and when he did that, it transformed his life. They had had in mind a marriage. Then Joseph had had in mind a divorce. But the Holy Spirit had in mind a better plan. Joseph and Mary changed their minds. They still got married, but they did so with God's saving plan at the heart of that marriage and the rest of their lives, with all the joys and all the sorrows that that brought. It was a better plan than their plan. So what about you? As you look forward into this coming year, what do you have in mind that's going to make your life better? What do you have in mind that's going to bring fulfillment to your life? Maybe you're hoping for it in the present you're going to open later today. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit's got a better plan. He's got a better plan for your life than the one that you have. Jesus asked the Father to send Holy Spirit to anyone who asked. All the fullness of God in spirit form there for you to request. That's a better plan. Career, marriage, education, ministry and church, they can all be good in their own way, but they'll never bring the fulfillment of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the gift of God. So listen to the promise which God makes to those who trust in him. He says this: "Dear friends, now we are children of God. What we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So God says through John, we are God's children. The moment we trust in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. But what we will be hasn't yet been made known. So we're not really sure what we're going to be in the end. What we do know is that when Christ appears, we'll be like him. No idea how we're going to get from here to there. We're children of God right now, messed up, broken people, but children of God. And we will one day be like Jesus Christ. The process is left to the Holy Spirit to make it so. We don't know exactly how the story will end, but we trust the Spirit who brought Jesus to birth and raised him from the dead. That Spirit is the Spirit that is at work in you this Christmas day. Do you want that? Do you want the all-powerful Spirit of God to be transforming you? Or do you want to settle for what you thought would make your life better? Well, I know which I would rather. If you want the Spirit, then change your mind, follow his will, and receive the Spirit of God into your life today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your birth. We thank you that it wasn't just a lovely thing to look back on with nostalgia, but transformed our relationship with you. And we thank you that through your death and resurrection, you open the way for God to come and dwell in every human heart. So, Lord, we ask, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us with your peace, with your joy, and begin that work of transformation that we might one day be like Jesus. Amen.